Welcome to Journal Club. I'm Olive Mitra. Today's episode is about using machine learning to improve oral cancer diagnosis and recommend tailored treatment plans. Cancer diagnosis and treatment can put an enormous amount of mental and physical stress on the families affected by it. This doesn't need to be elevated by misdiagnosis. A false positive or a diagnosis of cancer when it isn't there could lead to unnecessary radiological or chemotherapy treatments. A false negative or misdiagnosis of something malignant as benign could lead to delays in therapy, allowing the cancer to progress and get harder to treat. So what can help us avoid misdiagnosis? In today's paper, researchers fine-tuned an existing model to prevent misdiagnosis in oral cancer. But they didn't stop there. They also developed an entirely new model that can take diagnostic information and predict effective treatment routines that are tailored to patients. On today's episode, we'll explore why oral cancer is so nefarious, learn how convolutional neural networks, or CNNs, support early diagnosis and treatment planning, and see if the author's models worked in clinical use. For oral cancer, early detection is key. Unfortunately, misdiagnosis is common. This disease can present in multiple ways that seem unrelated to cancer. Early symptoms may get confused with other far less serious illnesses, such as TMJ or numbness of the gums. Doctors might also mistake cancerous lesions as dental abscesses. If there are identifiable tumors, they come in an annoyingly wide variety. These false negatives slow down cancer treatment at exactly the moment when time matters most. The odds are definitely stacked against oral cancer researchers and clinical practitioners. Masquerading symptoms, tumor diversity, challenging surgical tumor removal from a fiendishly complex anatomical space, the list goes on. Traditional diagnostic tools, such as biopsies and imaging, are slow and might be done incorrectly or incompletely. Tests can be costly and time-consuming. In order to help deal with some of these challenges, researchers and clinicians have begun turning to the support of AI. Tools such as convolutional neural networks, or CNNs, have been widely embraced for their ability to accurately interpret multimodal imaging data, making them excellent tools for tumor diagnosis. CNNs can be much quicker than humans and less prone to errors if properly trained. But training is harder than it sounds, and no model is perfectly accurate. So how do they work? A CNN is a type of neural network that is particularly well-suited to image analysis. Like our brains, it's made up of neurons that relay information back and forth to other neurons in the network as it analyzes the image. It can be trained to accurately detect a specific object in an image, like a cancer tumor in an oral MRI. It can also be trained to differentiate between objects, like lesions and non-cancerous sores, based on the image's features. These features are the distinguishing characteristics of what you want the CNN to learn to recognize. Information is visually broken up into pixels, and then each neuron in the network analyzes a small portion of the image. Now, imagine a loaf of bread, pre-sliced. Each slice of bread represents a group of the neurons, or a layer. The end pieces are the input layer and the output layer, respectively. The input being an image you want the CNN to analyze, and the output being the CNN's prediction as to what that image is. It's in the middle slices of bread where the real action is. Together, they are called the hidden layers, and this is where most of the computational work of the CNN is happening. The more slices in the loaf means the more robust your analysis can be. In a process called forward propagation, information travels from the input layer to be analyzed in the hidden layers and eventually creates an output prediction. When the prediction is wrong, that's where the training comes in. Information about why the prediction was wrong is then fed back through the hidden layers in reverse. This is called backpropagation. The process of forward and backpropagation allows the CNN to fine-tune its recognition ability. This is called training. This is essentially how a neural network learns to recognize an object. It needs to start with a dataset of visual images, sending information back and forth through the layers, strengthening positive connections between neurons, and filtering out noise or irrelevant data. When the model is being trained to distinguish between different types of data, we call those different types classes. The more classes of data you present to the CNN's input, the greater variety of distinct objects it will be trained to recognize. For a dataset like oral oncology imaging, that's a lot of bread. The authors of this study were particularly interested in using CNNs to create a diagnostic model that would be coupled with a separate predictive model to plan the most effective treatment routines. The diagnostic model, the CNN, was trained to recognize malignant tissue from a vast set of visual data, in this case, MRI and CT scans of the oral cavity. A CNN works by essentially analyzing an entire image pixel by pixel and then subsequently re-scanning it through the hidden layers of the network for an analysis of finer and finer detail. The authors enhanced this model with Bayesian optimization. The predictive model, called the treatment planner, is an ensemble learning model. It was designed to look at the diagnostic model's results as well as the patient's clinical and health information and generate an individualized treatment plan for them. In this scenario, the researchers wanted the model to be able to search through sets of histopathological and treatment data to find correlations with the patient's specific diagnosis and health history. This would take a lot of computational power and actually involve multiple submodels working at once. The researchers used the random forest and gradient boosting machine algorithms to help with the treatment planner model. Both algorithms rely on the predictions of multiple simultaneous submodels and make meta predictions. Let's look at one of the case studies presented in the paper to put their model's efficacy into focus. A patient was diagnosed with adenoid cystic carcinoma, a rare cancer starting in the salivary glands. Her tumor required her to receive targeted care to avoid damaging non-malignant tissues in the surrounding area. The diagnostic model detected her non-cancerous tissues with 93% accuracy, and the treatment model predicted the minimally invasive surgery would give the best chance of saving her healthy tissue. 6 months after the operation, imaging revealed no malignancy. The model worked. The RF and GBM algorithms were able to operate at a reasonable degree of accuracy and specificity in relation to the patient's individualized needs. By approaching datasets spanning tumor characteristics, patient health indicators, and clinical treatment data through randomized analysis, and building constructively upon a previous model's predictions, the treatment planning model was able to avoid problems caused by overfitting while retaining the specificity to tailor the most effective treatment options. That being said, we need to ask ourselves, is 93% accuracy good enough for clinical care? Would you be comfortable with your doctor using a diagnostic tool that could get it wrong for every 15th patient or so? If not, then perhaps this technology is not quite the solution to the misdiagnosis problem that we might have hoped. At least not yet. While deep learning models and AI-driven tools may not currently be within the reach of most clinical environments or accurate enough to be useful there, it is really hard to say what the future will bring. As predictive tools increase the options that clinicians have to offer patients, the human factor is always present. Predictive treatment models must always be kept up to date in their training by integrating new discoveries and procedural changes to remain clinically effective. So far, people are the ones training these models and ensuring that they are accurate. As we rely on models to do what people cannot, let's not forget that it's people that train them in the first place. If you'd like to explore the other case studies or read more in-depth about the validation methods used to assess the models, download the paper and dive right on in. Today's episode of Journal Club was written and performed by me, Olive Mitra, with writing support from Malcolm Diggs. It was produced by Luis Lopez. Hope you enjoyed it. We'll see you tomorrow.